Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Now the daylight flees, now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. Curtains torn in two, dead are raised to life. Finished the victory cry. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross.
Have enjoyed the music today, and I hope that you have as well. Our theme has, this week in our missions conference has been Give to Live. And we've had some fun with that and different things, and our missionaries went around and picked a few posters out, and we'll talk to you a little bit more about that at the end. But some of the kids have an interesting idea what Give to Live means. And wish I had all the time to show you all the various posters that that we looked at last night. But I appreciate moms and dads encouraging your kids to get involved there. I also enjoyed the 4 and 5 year olds who have been collecting an offering all year, and gave that out on Friday night to Brother and Mrs. Bingham. $60-something dollars from 4 and 5 year olds. So don't tell me people ain't got money. Oh, by the way, we're in such a bad state in the economy. You know how bad it is? There was about 50,000 people at that monster jam. I tell you, we're in such an economic breakdown today. If you don't believe it, come live over where I am. I'll show you they're there. You see, what I'm saying is, folks, we give to what is next to our heart. And we sacrifice to that which is important to us. If something is not of value to us, we will not sacrifice for it. If it's valuable to us, then we'll sacrifice toward that. And I want to speak to you tonight on sacrifice is Christ. Sacrifice. Now I want to stop and say this before we start reading here in just a minute. Ephesians 5, Romans 12, 2 Corinthians 8 is where you need. Now while you're turning there, it's Ephesians 5, Romans 12, 2 Corinthians 8. Now while you're turning there, let me just say this. Folks, most of Christians today, we have no clue what sacrifice is. You hear what I'm saying? I said we have no clue what it means to sacrifice in America. I mean, some of us, I don't know, and I hope this doesn't happen to you, but, you know, summertime's coming, and if our air conditioner stops working, we think, you know what, man, we're sacrificing. You know, most of the world has never even had an air conditioner, much less have an air conditioner go out. And listen, I know what some are thinking. Some people think, preacher, I'm so tired of hearing that. Move on to something else. We're in America. Let me tell you something. When are we going to have a heart for other people? When are we going to have a mind and a heart for the rest of the world? Yes, God has given us some conveniences. And yes, God has blessed America in a great way. But let me tell you something, folks. We need to make sure that we don't allow the blessings of God become such a place in our life that we become complacent toward the needs of others around the world. Yet, America, we're so blessed, and yet sacrifice, it's almost like a foreign word to us. It's almost like, you know what? The air may go out in the car, may go out in the home, and we think that's sacrifice. Folks, that doesn't even hold a candle to what true biblical sacrifice is. We're going to look at some of these things tonight. So if you'll open your Bible, Ephesians 5, would you stand with me? We're going to read a couple of verses out of Ephesians 5. Then we'll look at Romans 12 and 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Paul writing here says this in Ephesians 5 and verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering," and look here now, "and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." Now folks, what Jesus went through, now that's sacrifice. What he experienced for you and I, that is genuine sacrifice. Now because he did that for us, because he gave the ultimate sacrifice, his life for you and I, look at what Romans 12 says. Same writer, Romans 12 and verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now let me bring that down. You want a common 2013 interpretation? Here it is. If Jesus gave his life for us, why can't we give ours for him? That's what he's saying. He said if the Lord went to the extent to save your soul from hell, the least we could do is give him our lives while we're alive, while we still have time today. He says, listen, because Christ was a sacrifice, so must we be holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And then if you'll look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's begin reading in verse number 1. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how then in great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of your liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints." Verse 5. "And this they did, not as we hoped," but listen, here's what they did. They said, before we can offer a material sacrifice, we must offer our lives as a sacrifice. Look what he says. He says, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, folks, the Apostle Paul knew something about sacrifice, would you say? He knew a little bit about what it was to sacrifice for Jesus Christ. He understood what it was to be committed. And by the way, you find me somebody that's committed to the cause of Christ, I'll show you somebody that's willing to sacrifice everything for Christ. You show me a believer that's uncommitted to Christ, I'll show you somebody that's not willing to sacrifice anything for Christ, much less their treasures. They're not willing to sacrifice time or talent whatsoever for the Lord. And I want to take these verses tonight, and I want to speak to you along our theme for the year, to live as Christ, and speak to you about sacrifice is Christ. Now, Father, we simply ask that you meet with us in the time that we have tonight. We pray that you'd open our hearts to what you desire through the Word of God. We pray that, Father, tonight, please show your grace in our lives, and we'll give the glory and praise to you in Jesus' name. Amen, and you can be seated. The word sacrifice is defined by Webster's as the surrender of something for the sake of something else. Now, let's bring that into Christian terminology. In other words, it's when you or I give up something that is valuable to us for the sake of something else of greater value. Are you with me? You see, the thing about it is, you know what is of greater value? What is of greater value are the souls of people. So I ought to be willing to sacrifice time for the greater value of seeing people come to Christ. You see, that is many times, folks, something that is becoming more and more in independent Baptist churches across America, soul winning, door to door, confrontational soul winning, is becoming more and more scarce as the days go by. You know why? Because not many people willing to sacrifice. Not many people willing to give up their time in order to reach people for the glory of God. Think about that. Sacrifice is only when you and I give up something that's valuable to us for the sake of something of greater value, and may I say greater value to Christ. Take your Bible, if you would, go to Matthew chapter 6. I want us to look at a few verses by way of introducing the matter tonight and look at Jesus and His teachings on sacrifice. His teachings on sacrifice. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 21. Now you'll recognize it as Jesus' sermon on the mount. And in Matthew 6 and verse 21, if you'll remember verses 19 and 20, remember he talked about that we're to not to lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. Y'all remember that? Where did he tell us to lay up treasure? Come on, come on now. This is interactive message tonight. Where did he tell us to lay up treasure? In heaven. You know why? Because there moths can't get to, rust can't affect, and thieves can't break through and steal. And then here's what he said. For where your... Listen, he didn't say where his heart was or his treasure was. He said, believer, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He said, that which is of value to you, that which you're willing to sacrifice, that which you're willing to give up that's valuable to you for the sake of something of greater value, he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, folks, listen to me. That's the reason in Christendom around the world, not many people willing to sacrifice. Because sacrifice costs us something. And listen, again, we've got too many believers that have the mentality to get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. That's the mentality. Because by the way, we got to have retirement, don't we? Come on, help me out now. Come on, preacher, we got to have retirement. Man, don't you understand, when I retire, we want to travel the world and let people go to hell. See, what I'm saying is, folks, if that's our attitude, you probably won't make it to retirement. And then you're going to have to face God, and He's going to say, you know that $100,000, that $200,000, that $500,000 you got in the bank? What are you going to do with that now? Because you up here with me now. What are you going to do with that money that you got stored up in the bank? Oh, well, you don't understand. I had a will, God. And I willed it to all my kids. He said, I know. And they're fighting over it right now. Yeah, they're fighting over it right now. And he says, you know what? That money could have been given to missions. That money could have been given to the things of God. Now your five kids are going to take it, and not a dime of it's going to missions. Not a dime of it will go through the local church. Amen. You see, we don't know anything about sacrifice. You see, here's what we think. We think that we've got to prepare for our future. Folks, listen to me. How about helping prepare for somebody else's future? How about their life and their soul? Listen, I'm not against having money. I'm not against having retirement. But let me tell you something, folks. If that's all we're living for and we're letting the world die without Christ, our prerogatives, our priorities are wrong. Jesus looked at his disciples and says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know, when you read the lives of the disciples, I've mentioned to you many times, Peter probably depicts it as good as any disciple, the Christian life. Pretty much as across the board, he probably pictures it. And may I say to you that as he looked at Peter and some of the rest of these disciples, and he said to them, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now listen, let me tell you some hard facts. Peter and some of the disciples walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. And you know what? They didn't listen to a whole lot that he said. You know why I know that? Because after he ascended, or after he had died and went to the grave and had risen the third day, Peter said, man, sure was good while it lasted. He said, I think I'm going to go fishing again. He said, I'm done with this Christian thing. And you know what some others said? Okay, we'll go with you also. And they left and went back. You know why? Because their treasure, listen to me, their treasure was never with Jesus. Their treasure was in, well, if this doesn't work out, then I can always go back to the fishing business. You see, the thing about it is, I'm glad Jesus didn't take that attitude on the cross and say, well, you know, if this doesn't work out, I can always go back to the right hand of God. You know, if nobody's going to accept me, I can always just say, you know what, I'm done with them. Thank God he didn't have the attitude. But Jesus taught sacrifice. Look, if you would, in John chapter 15. Go to John chapter 15. Let's look at another verse here. John chapter 15. Look, if you would, in verse number... John 15 and verse number 13. Get over here in the right book right quick. John 15 and verse number 13. Now look what he says. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, folks, you know what that is? That's sacrifice. That is taking something of value to you and giving it up for something of greater value. You know how I know the Apostle Paul lived this? Because there were multiple times he made reference that he would, even if he could, if God would let him, he would allow his own soul to be condemned so that all Israel could be saved. You know what? This guy was a man of sacrifice. He understood what it was to give up something of value to him for something of greater value to God. And yet here the Lord taught how important it was to sacrifice. Can you imagine the disciples as they looked at Jesus and said, what? Say that again? He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now listen, if you're like me, I kind of picture the disciples when Jesus is teaching this, of thinking, is he talking about us? He talking about, he thinks we're going to give our life for somebody? Well, see, the thing about it is we knew that they weren't ready for it, because when you go to Gethsemane, they all took off, right? They weren't ready to give up. They weren't ready to sacrifice. They weren't ready to give their lives. You say, what made the change? We're going to look at that in just a second. Luke 14. Turn to Luke 14. Go to Luke 14 and verse 33. Luke 14 and verse 33. Are you there? Luke 14 and verse 33. Jesus speaking says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, Didn't say 50%, folks. Didn't say 75%. It said, all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, you say, does Jesus want me to just give everything away and sell everything and just go live on the street? Now, you know better than that. That's not what he's insinuating here at all. He's saying, when everything that you have, including your own life, becomes of lesser value than that which I deem of greater value, you can never be my disciple. He said, until you take on the sacrifice life, until you take on the crucified life, he said, you will never understand what I've been teaching you all this time. You see, that's the reason a lot of Christianity makes no sense to people. You know why? Because Christianity is filled with sacrifice. And most people blows their mind. They're so unfamiliar with sacrifice, and so therefore they're very unfamiliar with true and genuine Christianity. Go to Matthew 16. Let's look at another passage right quick. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24. Matthew 16 verse 24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. It's the same thing Luke said about forsaking all. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and do what? Now, this morning, if you weren't in the service, I made several references to why I believe that there are a lot of people in churches, including Trinity Baptist Church, that have had a born-again conversion to the Savior of the cross. Are you with me? There's a lot of people that have had a born-again conversion to the Savior. They've accepted Jesus. But can I say, Jesus said, now after you accept me, now I want you to have a relationship with the cross. You see, the Apostle Peter and several other disciples never had anything happen of any great magnitude in their life or in their ministry until they got converted to the cross, not just to the Savior of the cross. They got converted to the cross of the Savior. Because listen, once they realized that the entire weight of keeping the ministry and keeping the Word of God going forth was on their shoulders, they thought, wow, we better get with the program. Can I ask you this? What was the difference between Peter 3 seconds after the rooster crowed, and then Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost? What was the difference? Wait a minute, same guy, right? Same disciple, oh, Simon Peter, same guy, same name, right? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Jesus had a little conference in John 21 on the Sea of Galilee. And he had a little conference with him. And he said, lovest thou me more than these? Peter, 3 times, what did he tell him? Oh, Lord, you know I love you. You know I do. You know. And listen, if we took a microphone, went around to everybody in here, almost without exception, 100% of the people would say, oh, Lord, oh, preacher, you know I love Jesus. You know I love him. But you listen, then you know what he told Peter? He said, then go feed my lambs. Go feed my sheep then. He says, go and sacrifice for me. He said, you saw everything that I did for you. He says, now I'm commissioning you now to go and sacrifice yourself. Go give your time. Go give your finances. Go give your talents. Go out to the world now. You know what the Apostle Peter did that day? Listen, that day it changed his life. And now he's not the same Peter that he was when he denied the Lord 3 times. Now he's the apostle that preaches and 3,000 people get born again. 3,000 people get baptized. And let me tell you something. He loved that message so much, he preached the second point of it and 5,000 people got saved. And then, listen, people were starting getting saved in such large numbers, the Scripture just started calling it multitudes, and multitudes multiplied. There's a lot of people getting saved. Now, wait a minute. Same apostles. Come on, somebody help me out. What made the difference? I'll tell you what made the difference. They understood what it meant to sacrifice now. They understood what it meant to give something of value to them and give it up for that which is greater value to Christ. Now you say, "Now, preacher, did Jesus exemplify sacrifice?" Well, let's take a look at it. Go, if you would, now to let's go. I've got a number of verses. Let's just look at a couple of them. Since we're there in Matthew, go to Matthew 8. Go to Matthew 8. Have you ever wondered, did Jesus actually ever sacrifice in his ministry? Did he ever give up something for others? Well, let's look at it. Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 20. Listen to what the Lord says. "And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Did you see that? He said the foxes have holes, birds have nests, but he said, you know what? The Son of Man, I don't even have a place to live. I don't even have a place to lay my head. I don't even have a place to go once the day's ended. Listen to me. Jesus understood what sacrifice was. He understood what it was to give up something of great value for a greater value of the Father. Gave up his own life. By the way, if you'll remember, Jesus said, "No man taketh my life. I give it freely." Nobody's forcing me to do this. I'm giving it up freely. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 15. John 10, verse 15. John 10 and verse 15. All right, John 10, verse 15, look what it says. Jesus speaking here says, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father." Listen. "And I lay down my life for the sheep." Now somebody help me out now. Is that sacrifice? It's absolute sacrifice right there. He said, "I gave and laid down my life," his life, "for the sheep." Who would the sheep be? Would that be us? You mean that Christ sacrificed everything, his life, for you and I? Listen to me. And he gave up everything. What is he getting in return, folks? How much sacrifice are we giving back to him? How much time do we give him? How much of our treasures do we give him? How much of our abilities and talents do we give him? Let me tell you something. God's getting shortchanged, folks. He gave his life. And yet Paul said, for us to be a living sacrifice is our reasonable service. Our reasonable service. You see, for us to tip God a few bucks, that's not sacrifice for us. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you what sacrifice is. Take your next paycheck, sign it over to the church and say, "There you go. There's my 2 week salary." Oh, now we're getting somewhere, right? So, "Preacher, I couldn't do that. I couldn't pay my bills." Well, why don't you trust God for once? Come on, folks. Listen to me. Look up here. It's not time to pray. All I'm saying is, folks, we don't understand what sacrifice is. We have no idea what sacrifice is. And yet there are believers by the millions in countries today that are, listen, having church underground. They go to church after dark because they're afraid of going during the day, of getting pegged as a Christian and losing their life. Now that's sacrifice. Now, I mentioned to you that Jesus not only taught sacrifice, he exemplified sacrifice. In church tonight, sacrifice is not about the time. It's not about money. It's not about effort. God already owns all of that. Sacrifice, listen now, it's about you. Sacrifice is about me. You see, it's about my dedication and my commitment and my relationship to Christ. See, we think it's about the material things that we possess and that it's what God wants. He wants our material possessions. Listen, folks, God understands. He'll never get your material possessions until he gets you first. And until he has you, he'll never get any material possessions. He'll never get anybody to give freely and by faith to world missions. He'll never get it until he has you and I first. Well, take your Bible if you would. Now, let me get to the gist of the message. Go to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. As you're turning there, let me kind of bring you up to speed for those of you that might be new to the Bible. Nehemiah and the people of God have been taken into captivity. And they had a big task. There was a burden. The word had come back to Nehemiah that Jerusalem was absolutely in shambles and was vulnerable in that day and time. The gates and the walls were on fire. And he began to think about the task at hand. Now, folks, listen. If Nehemiah had taken on this task by himself to go and redo the wall and rebuild the wall by himself, boy, that had taken quite a chore, right? But the thing about it is, you know what? Nehemiah had some sense. He realized, I can't do this by myself. Do you realize, folks, that Trinity Baptist Church will never reach our mission, Faith Promise Missions goal of 330,000 if it was left up to one of you to do it? See, it's not up for one person to do it. It's up for all of us collectively to reach a common goal. You see, Nehemiah had the vision. Nehemiah had the burden. All the people had to do was just follow the vision and follow the burden. That's all they had to do. Hey, folks, listen, our church has a vision. We've got a vision for souls. We've got a vision to start churches and send missionaries around the world. There's a vision there. There's a burden there. We just need to follow it. Well, Nehemiah pleads with the king. The king allows him to go back. Nehemiah goes back to Jerusalem, and he begins to gather a team of people together. There was a wall to be built. There were gates to be reconstructed. And he gave them the task. And by the way, when you read the scripture, you'll find Nehemiah said, I didn't even tell them everything that was in my heart. I didn't tell them everything that was going to happen. I didn't tell them that we're probably going to face some opposition. I didn't tell them that there would probably be some people come against us or say things to try to discourage us. And then we come to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah and the people of God had a challenge right before. But listen, they were committed to the challenge. And I want you to look at what it says. Nehemiah 4, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, I want you to look at these things that he brought into question. And folks, listen, it's the same thing Satan's going to bring into question in every one of our lives. First of all, he says, what do these feeble Jews? What do these feeble Jews? Now listen, let me help you with something. You know what Sanballat was saying here? What he was saying is, are you kidding me? You people are out of captivity. You have no resources to build this wall. He said, there's no way you can finance this. There's no way you've got time. There's no way you've got enough sense to know how to reconstruct this wall. He says, you don't even have any resources. You see, the thing about it, he was looking only at the human side. He didn't realize they were serving a great God that had all the resources to meet the need. You see, folks, listen, if Nehemiah would have gone to Jerusalem and had been totally dependent upon his own resources and what they could collect and what they could get together, he'd been in sad shape. But you know what he's depending on? He's depending on God to rebuild the wall through them. And so he says, Sanballat says, what do these feeble Jews? And then look what he says. He said, will they fortify themselves? He says, you know what? They're not going to loose themselves from their personal responsibilities to work on this stupid wall. That's what he's saying. He says, you know what? They're going to get in here. He said, I promise you, they're going to make a commitment to Faith Promise Missions and they'll never keep it. Amen. He said, you know what? They're going to make a commitment to build this wall. He said, I promise you it's not going to get done because they ain't got enough time and they don't have enough commitment to get it done. He said, will they fortify themselves? They're not going to give up their personal responsibilities and work and to work on this wall. And by the way, what benefit are y'all going to get from this anyway? You're going to build this wall? What are you going to do after you get finished? I tell you what, you're going to be out of work for weeks because we know that they built the wall in 52 days. Best I can tell, that's about a month and a half. How would you like to be out of work for a month and a half with no pay? You see, I'm sure he was saying, listen, what benefit are you going to get from this? Just like some, the reason they don't give to world missions, you know why? Because they can't see right here and right now the benefit of it. But folks, listen to me. I'm not laying up treasures here. I'm laying up treasures there. You see, one of these days, I'll get to see the value of my investment. God's not going to show you the total value of your investment now. If that's what you're waiting for, sorry. You'll never see it. You see, Brother and Mrs. Hernandez and Brother and Mrs. Peters, they're heading one to Spain, one to Thailand. I'm not going to see the benefit of their work and our investment in their ministries, but I will one day. And if I'm waiting to see it right now, then folks, I'm in sad shape because I'm not going to see it right now. And if I'm going to base my giving to world missions based on what I can see right now, then I'm probably not going to give anything. You see, I'm investing in eternal value. He said, will they fortify themselves? Look at the next thing that he asked. Will they sacrifice? Listen, he said, will they give up something that is valuable to them for something of greater value to God? And folks, listen. We all live a tight schedule, don't we? But you know, they have a show now called The Hoarders. Now, I've never seen it, but I've been in a few houses like that. But can I say this to you? Most of us are hoarders. And you know what we hoard? Time. We hoard our time. And here's what we do. We'll tip God a couple of hours a week. Well, bless God, I came to church Sunday morning. There you go, God. 2 hours. And I'm sure the Lord is impressed with that. Oh, Lord, you know what? I might have a chance to come on Sunday night, and if I come on Sunday night, that's going to be a bonus for you because I'm going to be there on Sunday night. Now, come on, help me out, folks. We, you know, and as well as I do, we're hoarders of our time. And when it listen, the sad thing today is if it comes down to God's time or my time, you know what mostly wins out? My time. If you don't believe that, if the rapture took place, how many people do you think would have gone up from Monster Jam last night that were believers? Yeah. Yeah, see, the thing about it is what I'm saying, folks, is that will the people sacrifice? Will they give up something of value to themselves for greater value for the cause of Christ? And then he said, will they make an end in a day? Listen. You guys can't make any difference. Don't you understand? The wall's burning. Listen, it's broken down. You're not going to make a difference. Listen, you little people at Trinity Baptist Church, you give what you're not going to make a dent in the world's population and getting people saved. Why are you wasting your time? That's what the devil's always going to present to every believer. Because, again, he knows human nature. And you know what we want to see? We want to see instant results. And when we don't see instant results, he said, look, I told you, you're not going to make a difference. Let me say something to you. I'm glad that somebody that came and knocked on my door one day didn't have the attitude, well, I wonder if this is going to make a difference. You see, if I make a difference in one person's life that comes to Christ, it's worth all of it. He said, will they make an end in a day? Is this really worth the effort when you can't really make a difference? And then look what he says. Will they revive the stones? Will they revive the stones of the out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? He said, you people are expecting a miracle. You know what we are at Trinity Baptist Church? You know what we're expecting with our Faith Promise Missions? A miracle. That's what we're expecting. And he says, you folks, man, you're expecting a miracle to get this done. He said, half you people don't even know how to build a wall. You don't have no money. You don't have time. He said, these people aren't going to sacrifice. And then Tobiah, look at verse number 3, he chirps in and says, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. You know what he's saying? They're not going to stick to their commitment. He said they'll work a few days and they'll realize that they're way out of their fear. They're not going to stick to their commitment. And you know what he's thinking? He's thinking the first crisis that comes along, they're going to quit. Now, folks, listen to me. And you know what? Tobiah is right for the majority of Christianity today. Because here's what will happen. People will make their faith promise commitment, and they think, Lord, I'm going to do this by faith. The more things will be going on great for a couple of months, and all of a sudden, somebody comes with an ice pick and punches all four of your tires. And then the next thing that comes up, well, golly, I got to have tires, because if I don't have tires, I can't go to work. So all of a sudden you're thinking, well, you know what? I'll just make it up at a later time. Now, folks, listen. Here's what I find out. Most people that don't give their vow when they say it, never give it. And listen, that's committed money. That's committed finances to the things of God. And if I take God's money and buy tires with it, you know what? Then I think we may be taking our life in jeopardy at that point. He said, you know what? First crisis that comes, they'll quit. He said, they don't have any incentive to work. They're not going to do this. They're not going to stick with the program. You see, church, I wish that I could say that all of the people of God participated in world missions. Oh, by the way, can I say something right here? Giving a tithe is not sacrifice. That already belongs to God. Giving a tithe is not sacrifice. A sacrifice is over and above the tithe. Now, folks, listen to me, and I'm going to finish this up. Back in 1955, and thereabouts, the mid-50s, there were five young men that God had laid a burden on their heart to go to an Indian tribe in the jungles of Ecuador. They were burdened for this tribe. No man had ever made contact with this tribe before. And they began to do various things, and they to make contact with this tribe in the jungles of Ecuador. And they began to bring supplies, and they began to get friendly to try to build a rapport with these Indians. Now, they got brave one day and decided that they had, as they began to fly, because one of those five men was a pilot, and they began to fly over the jungle, and they found a river. And they found a place where they thought they could actually land the plane on the bank of the river and try to make personal contact, because they never made personal contact. They had dropped food and supplies and all that kind of stuff down into the village, but never made personal contact. So they got brave one day and landed that plane. And sure enough, they made contact with a couple of women from that jungle tribe. And they thought, man, things are going well. Now listen, they got so confident about what they were doing is they began to frequent their visits to the jungle tribe. They began to frequent their visits, and they began to land the plane. They began to do all kinds of things and begin to teach some of these people. On January the 8th, 1956, everything changed for these five young men. You see, everything looked like it was going great. Everything, they were making contact, they were radioing back, said, listen, we've made contact, we're teaching, all of these things are going well. But on January the 8th, 1956, Jim Elliot and four other men were murdered as missionaries, trying to reach a tribe that man had never made contact with. They had given the ultimate sacrifice of their life, and yet, many times we hear the name Jim Elliot, but if I call the other names of the other four men, most people in here wouldn't even recognize them. And yet those men died that day too, with him. Now what I'm saying to you tonight, church, is this. Most of us know nothing about sacrifice. We know nothing about giving up something of value to us for something that was of greater value to him. Let me say this and I'll finish. Jim Elliot said this, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. I want you to think about that tonight. Let me say it again. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. You see, that day Jim Elliot and four other men lost their lives, left behind wives, left behind children. But can I say this to you, church? They understood every step of the way that every time they took a step closer to this tribe was a closer to death for them. And they understood that at some point the ultimate sacrifice may be required. But here's what they did. They had already decided they were committed to Christ. They had already decided that they were willing to give up that which was important, that which was precious to them, which was their lives, for something of greater value. Now let me tell you the rest of the story, okay? After the death of these men, the wives of these men made a commitment that they were not going to stop the project. And as time went on, others went in and they began to evangelize this tribe. And several of the men, at least one of them, I know, maybe two of them, that I know of, that was actually part of the party that killed these five missionaries, came to Jesus Christ. And you can go read his testimony about how he said that day, he said his heart was dark with sin. His heart was evil. But he said, now the blood of Jesus has washed me clean. Now that's one of the men that was part of the party that killed those five missionaries. You see, the thing about it is, do you think the work of Jim Elliot and those four missionaries was in vain? You know why it wasn't? Because there was a seed planted in the hearts of those tribal Indians. They saw five men willing. And by the way, when you go check it out, they had a way to defend themselves and chose not to. They had guns, but chose not to use them. And they willingly sacrificed the thing that was most precious to them so that they could reach people that was of greater value to the Lord. You know, oftentimes we wonder, Lord, why did you take such and such at such a young age? Why did you do that? Why did that preacher pass away? Why did he do this? Why did you do that, Lord? Well, let me tell you something. These men got the ball rolling. They made the initial contact. And now that tribe had been evangelized. That tribe has been reached. And listen, that's just one story of many that I could tell you of people who are willing to sacrifice something that was of great value to them for something that was of greater value to the Lord. Can I ask you tonight, church, using the words of Sanballat, will we sacrifice? Are we willing to sacrifice time? Are we willing to sacrifice effort? Are we willing to sacrifice dollars? Are we willing to sacrifice time and prayer so that people can be reached? We'll find out, won't we? We'll find out whether we decide, as I mentioned this morning, whether we're going to fall on the side of Paul and be a Christian of consistency, or whether we're going to be a Christian of convenience. I want you to bow your head tonight. I don't want anybody to look around. I'm going to ask the instruments to come. We're not even going to sing tonight. I'm just going to ask the instruments to begin to play in just a moment. But before we do that, I wonder if there might be someone here tonight that knows not Christ. You say, preacher, I haven't had a born-again experience with Jesus. If I died tonight, I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven. And you'd at least let me pray for